This is the Other Bundesliga podcast, and as the season in Austria draws towards a close, we've got another Vienna derby, more VAR controversies, and a close title race to talk about. Hello and welcome to the Other Bundesliga podcast. My name is Tom Midler. Here with me via the magic of the internet are Lee Wingate and Simon Clark for this episode. And you may notice that we're back a little bit earlier than usual on the pod. That is not by accident. We've decided to switch up our rather ad hoc format a little bit, and we'll be aiming, as of next season really, to record a slightly shorter podcast every Monday. So we have a bit more of a manageable amount of action and news to cover in each podcast. But we thought if we're going to do that from next season, why not crack on and do it with our schedule straight away? So we'll be here a little bit more often than we were before every Monday. If you want to keep up to date with our latest podcast releases, please do subscribe to the pod on your platform of choice, be that Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever it is, whatever you use to listen to your pods. That's really useful to us if you can subscribe and perhaps even leave a review if you like what you're hearing. And of course, do check us out on social media over at Other Bundesliga. And yeah, if you're feeling generous, like I said, you can leave us a review or just follow us on social media as well. That would be great. We love doing what we do, and sharing it with as many of you as possible is, of course, what we want to do as well. And with that said and done, let's get down to Austrian Bundesliga business. A fourth Vienna derby of the season took place on Sunday. There were some fantastic, frenetic games at the top and the bottom of the table as well. But let's start with that Vienna derby. Lee and Simon, you were both there to witness it in person. How was it? It's usually quite a charged atmosphere in the derbies, isn't it? Was that the case this time around as well?
Yes, always the case. We had some more pyrotechnics. I think a bit of a trend is developing where ultras decide to let off pyrotechnics at the start of the second half now. That seems to be the new thing. So we had a bit of that. We had a bit of a feisty atmosphere with the usual chants. And once again, Rapid Vienna failing to beat Austria Vienna in the derby. It's just becoming yet another one of their barren runs now.
Yeah, all the way back to 2019, you have to go for the last time Rapid won in a derby. And after that long, long run of one-all draws and the two inseparable sides, this season now, Austria Vienna have won three of the four derbies. The other one was a thrilling 3-3 draw. Were they worthy winners? It looked like they were from what I saw on TV, but you guys, of course, had a much better perspective on things from inside the Generali Arena in Favoriten.
I think Austria Vienna were definitely worthy of the victory. However, Rapid did have an opportunity via Guido Burgstaller quite late on in the game, about 5 minutes to go, where if he puts that home, then it's 2-2, and who knows what could have happened. But fortunately for Austria Vienna, he put it wide. And Haris Tabakovic, who has had an incredible season, particularly an incredible 2023, scored a wonderful hat-trick. I think it was the first hat-trick in a derby game for many, many years. Austria Vienna were definitely worthy of the victory in terms of the performance, but it was closer than the scoreline and the attempts on goal suggested.
So Rapid could have snatched a point at the end through Burgstaller. He did score again, but talk about Tabakovic. Yes, hat-trick in the derby. First Austria-Vienna hat-trick since 1991 in a derby. He's now got six in the season against Rapid, which I believe is a Bundesliga record. Nobody's managed six in a season. So a real thorn in the side of Rapid Vienna, Haris Tabakovic. And it moves them ahead of Rapid in the table as well.
Yeah, it does. I agree with Simon. They were worthy winners. And, you know, obviously getting up to that coveted fourth spot, the higher you get, the more directly you go into European competitions, as well as getting one over your rivals. I just want to come back to what I said on a pod. It was either the last pod or the one before. And as you said, Rapid Vienna aren't very good. And they just aren't very good. I was sitting there watching them in the stadium yesterday thinking, like, they look sluggish. They look a bit slow. They don't look as creative. They look a bit devoid of ideas. And why is that? Well, I suppose we'd probably be in a job if we had the answer to that. We discussed this on the last pod, but just having your sporting director as your coach since October, and it's now May, and they've not brought anyone in the meantime they just don't look like a particularly well-coached team. And Austria-Vienna do at the moment. And I think that's probably what the difference was.
Yeah, both teams you feel like have been sort of making up for a bit of a lack of quality by, you know, just working hard and trying hard. And it seems that in the last few months, at least anyway, that has worked a lot better for Austria-Vienna than it has for Rapid. And you're right, they haven't replaced the manager. There've been so many false dawns, I guess, and new starts at Rapid. It's incredible, really, to think that they're going to have another one at the beginning of next season. You know, if not during the summer, there's going to be the next new chapter, the next restart. And it's hard to see at the moment what Rapid can do without massively improving the squad to actually make that new start anything other than another false dawn. And I feel like the table right now, with Austria just edging ahead after that derby win, it's reflected something that I felt, and I think that most football fans in Austria have felt for a while, is that Austria-Vienna are the better of the two teams right now. Both of them, like I say, making up a little bit for sort of deficits in terms of high quality personnel with some hard work and some, you know, some good motivation and things. But we're talking about Rapid being flat again in a derby. It's another derby game. You know, what more motivation can they need to sort of pick this up? This could have been a positive end to what's turning into a very difficult season for Rapid Vienna had they finished off with an away win in the derby. And, you know, they left themselves 2-0 down early on. And chasing too much. They were never really going to get back into it at that point, even though, as you did say, they did come close. And Burgstaller, as he usually does, scored once again. But from 2-0 down away in the derby, it's more than an uphill struggle, isn't it, for Rapid?
Yeah, they left themselves a mountain to climb. But I don't think there was ever really any point in the stadium where I thought, well, yeah, Rapid will come back and win this at that point. You know, you mentioned the abject record in the derby. There are 11 derbies now in the Bundesliga without a win. That's weird. Slightly weird, though, slightly skewed, because 8 of those have been draws and only 3 defeats. But still, 11 derbies without a win. It's 16 games against Salzburg as well in that time. 3 draws, 13 losses, and 9 games against Sturm, 3 draws, 6 losses. So I just think that tells you everything you need to know. As soon as that step up in quality is there and they're playing a better team, I said to Sai yesterday, they're just in those games, they are consistently bad. It's not like they'll sometimes have a good one and get a win. They just don't win any of them. And this has been going on for, I don't know how long that period is, but probably 2, 3, 4 years now. They just do not beat these teams.
Yeah, it's a damning indictment, and it's very, very difficult to push on in the league. As you said, European competition-wise, slipping to 5th is quite significant, really. 4th is the last of what we'd call kind of genuine European qualification spots. It gives you a good chance to get into the Conference League group stages at least. 5th, you start having to get involved with the messy business of the internal playoff and then beating other teams. You know, the winner of the bottom 6 group essentially will then be playing against the team who finishes 5th. And we saw at the end of last season, Rapid slip down the table to 5th. And in the end, despite a pretty long run of European qualifiers at the beginning of this season, that just ended up with nothing. It was quite an infamous defeat to Vaduz, but basically that was the byproduct of finishing 5th and just having too much to do to get into Europe then. So this is a not insignificant slip up for Rapid, and now they're right up against it come the end of the season. And I just want to go back to Tabakovic being the thorn in their side, really. You mentioned what a brilliant 2023 Tabakovic has had. You know, how good did he look in person? How well did he take those chances? Because there were some unbelievable misses and saves in the game. I'd say Nicky Heddle was perhaps the hero for Rapid in a way, with some ridiculous saves. But you can't fault Tabakovic for getting a hat-trick in the derby and now actually going 2 behind Burgstaller in a push, what would have been an incredibly unlikely push in the winter break for the Golden Boot. He might actually do it, you know.
Tabakovic, of course, he missed a few chances, but like the fact he scored a hat-trick, I think he's very happy with that. And not only in the top scorer charts, but also in the goals and assists chart. He is only 2 behind Burgstaller in the goals and assists. And also like his record this season in terms of like when he's played, he always scores. He scored like 1.1 goals every 90 minutes, which is an incredible record. Obviously, he hasn't played every minute of every game, but 1.1 goals per 90 minutes is quite an unbelievable record for Tabakovic. And yeah, he holds up the ball well. He's always in the right positions. He really keeps that Austria-Vienna team ticking. he's the reason why they're now in fourth position. Otherwise, I think they would have been a little bit struggling. But yeah, Tomakovic is having a wonderful season, and it kind of makes you think, is he going to remain at Austria Vienna for the next season?
Yeah, good question. I mean, both Vienna teams are reliant on a striker right now. Burgstaller, of course, pulling Rapid, Tabakovic pulling Austria to some extent, but I think Austria are probably a little bit less reliant purely on Tabakovic than Rapid are on Burgstaller. And you can see that as well with the second goal was a tap-in for Tabakovic that was put on a plate for him by Fitz. And Fitz is now the first player in Austria this season to reach double figures in terms of assists. So worth mentioning Dominic Fitz as well, coming up with more useful assists and more useful input for the violet half of Vienna.
Yeah, I thought he was very good yesterday. I do think that, you know, for that second assist where Austria-Vienna just seemed to sort of cut through the Rapid defence and then, you know, Solbauer runs over, sort of leaving Tabakovic free so that he can go and try and close down Fitz. I do think that Rapid did make some of that stuff sort of a bit easier for Austria-Vienna yesterday. But nonetheless, you can only beat the opponent in front of you. And I thought, yeah, Fitz was very good again.
So a big step after the derby, a 3-1 win for Austria-Vienna. There were chances in it for Rapid. Austria probably could have scored more. Tabakovic would have been very disappointed had he not managed the hat-trick in the end. It took him until stoppage time to do it, but he missed some glorious chances by benefit of, as you said, Simon, being in the right positions at the right times. He was there in the box a couple of times and perhaps should have scored his third earlier on. In the end, Austria won anyway. A big step in that battle between them for fourth and fifth, perhaps, in the European qualification places. But elsewhere in the top six, we had some more big, big games this weekend as well, and some very, very good games as well. I'll start by moving over to Linz, where it was LASK against Red Bull Salzburg. Perhaps, aside from the game coming up between Salzburg and Sturm, the biggest game left in the season, in a way, for Salzburg against a fellow unbeaten team in the top six in LASK. And it was a big chance. Sturm would have been looking, hopefully, towards LASK to do them a favour, perhaps, and take some points off Salzburg. But it didn't happen in the end. Šeško's goal in the second half, enough for a narrow and a high-quality 1-0 win for Salzburg.
Yeah, this one was close and really could have gone either way, I think. You had both teams hitting the woodwork in the first half. Šeško hit the post and then Michel at the other end for LASK. And it sort of seemed one of those that was resting on very fine margins. But Salzburg do what they always seem to do and somehow get the result. I think this was really good play from Šeško as well, because you saw that as the ball came through from Keuter, he sort of kept checking himself, so he had to adjust his position a few times to make sure that he was still onside. And then when that ball came through, it was a clinical finish. And yeah, I mean, it does put Salzburg in a very, very strong position now, because what I did not notice, Tom, when we recorded the last pod, is that Salzburg have a bonus point, which means to explain that for those that think, well, what the hell is that? That's when they have their points rounded down at the halving stage, which means that they then get this asterisk next to their name. And if they finish equal on points with a team without an asterisk, they then finish above them. Sturm Graz don't have the asterisk. Salzburg do, which means that even if Sturm win that game on Sunday, they will still be reliant on a Salzburg slip up from elsewhere. And as you say, I think the last game was the likeliest place for that to happen, and it didn't.
Perhaps a crucial winner then from Šeško. 18 shots to 16 that finished in LASK's favour. A very high quality game. As you said, really one of them that could have gone either way. They drew 0-0, the two teams, not long ago as well. Salzburg knew that this was a must-win game, really. They couldn't afford to drop points. Momentum swinging both ways in an excellent game. But Sturm weren't able to come through that tough test against LASK recently. LASK came out 2-1 winners in a game not many weeks ago against Sturm. But this time, Salzburg, in the same position, in a tricky position, playing at the Raiffeisen Arena in Linz, they managed to edge it and come through. They've only lost once all season, Salzburg. And I'll forgive you, Lee, for your for the slight error last week in not noticing the asterisk, because it's really complicated when you look at the table, because there is actually another form of asterisk in which Austria-Vienna have an asterisk alone for getting their points deducted. And it's a sort of a big plus instead that Salzburg have for the points being rounded down. So it was easy to overlook, but it does change the complexion of this title. Looking at it now, Paul Hogan asked, even if Sturm do beat Salzburg next weekend, what chance of a slip up for Salzburg against Austria Klagenfurt or Austria Vienna. Those would be the two remaining games. Assuming Sturm beat Salzburg to level things up at the top, Salzburg would need to slip up once more. Any chance that they do that against either of the Austrias?
It's really unlikely. However, I remember last season they slipped up against Austria Klagenfurt in the regular season. So maybe, and Austria Vienna, of course, they almost slipped up against them in the championship group. It was only a last minute penalty that saved them from losing at home for the first time in a long, long time.
And so, it was still a draw, which would count as the slip up. That would be the points lost, the points dropped that Sturm would need.
It kind of depends on if you're an optimist, Tom. I think in this situation, I'm going to be slightly pessimistic and think, you know, with the title on the line, I don't see them slipping up, but, you know, who knows?
Sturm's games coming up as well are pretty tough, just to add an extra little bit of spice in there. It's not like Sturm are going to canter to the maximum points that they need between now and the end of the season either.
Yeah, they've got Lask and then Rapid coming up on the final day after that Salzburg game. But regardless of what happens in the league this season, I think we have to say it has been the best title race that we've witnessed, because of course we had Lask going close in the pandemic season, but this has been a much more consistent and lasting title tilt from Sturm Graz. And, you know, we referred to the 3-3 draw against Austria Vienna there. Imagine they don't get that penalty in the last minute, or Šeško doesn't get that goal yesterday, and that's the title race potentially going in a very different direction. So it's been really fine margins and really entertaining, I think, this season.
It definitely has. I think this game, last nil, Salzburg won, in a way, it kind of sums it up. So Salzburg did enough, they got through. But yet again, we're talking about 1-0 wins here that might decide the title for Salzburg, rather than the 4-1s, 5-1s that we've seen from them in the past when they've cantered past seemingly very difficult opponents or left teams with no chance. And there's a lot of credit that has to go to Lask in this as well, because they've made it, especially in the top six group, they've made it a very good quality finish to the Bundesliga season. They've made it a very good quality season in Austria this year, because they genuinely are, three really good teams. And I don't know how else to say it. I know we've said this already a couple of times, that this really could have gone either way. It's hard, you know, hard to say it in any less certain terms than that. Had Lask managed to score, you know, had the shots been a couple of inches into different positions in the first half, they really could have won this game. There was no suggestion there that this was an inevitable Salzburg win. It was just a real nice pass from Keuta, lovely finish from Šeško that did make the difference. I do think if Lask had gone 1-0 up, or had Lask, you know, managed to hold on at 0-0 there, there was a really big chance that they could have taken something from the game, and any dropping of points at this stage would have been very, very costly for Salzburg. So no wonder Matthias Jessler was celebrating at the end with the goal hero Benjamin Šeško. And Lee, you spoke to Benjamin Šeško pretty recently, didn't you, for an article which is, it's not even out yet, is it? It's fresh, it's going to be hot off the press this week, right?
Yeah, going to go on the Bundesliga website later this week. You can find that at bundesliga.at. Spoke to him about quite a wide range of topics, everything from Slovenia to Salzburg, a little bit about him being temporarily dropped as well, some of the setbacks that he's had on a personal level this season, but also about some of his favourite moments and favourite goals. And he's definitely been pivotal in this season running for Salzburg. He had that 7-minute hat-trick against Rapid. He scored the all-important second goal against Sturm and got the winner against Lask yesterday. So they're certainly going to miss him once he goes to Leipzig in the summer.
Why is it that we feel that Salzburg, who have only lost once all season, are somehow sort of shakier than they have been in other years? Because they've probably lost fewer games this year than they have in the last couple of years. Yet somehow we always feel that they're eminently a bit more beatable this season. They haven't really given us the scientific data to suggest that they are more beatable, but somehow they don't seem the same.
Yeah, I think it's just because they aren't winning 4-0 and 5-0 every week this season. All the games are much closer. I think it's just because they don't have a true attacker who is just scoring every single week, which they've had with like Patson Daka and so on in the past. They're more of a team rather than relying on individuals this season. And also that they have dropped points, maybe against teams that you wouldn't expect them to as well. But yeah, I mean, you look at what's happened and they've only lost one game. You know, maybe they should have lost a couple more. I mean, depending on how you look at things. But yeah, it has been a great season. Obviously, with them being knocked out of the cup as well, might have added to our opinion that they're not as good as previous Salzburg teams. But yeah, they've had a very mixed season. But a mixed season for Salzburg is the greatest season for every other team. So yeah.
Very true, very true. Still, now the only unbeaten team in the championship round. Although, you know, as you said, they've drawn three times in that. They have lost points here and there, but still, at the end of the day, unbeaten in the championship round. They haven't pulled away like they normally do and run away with the title in these decisive weeks, but still, they're going very strong indeed. Another team, though, are going strong in the Austrian Bundesliga. That is Sturm Graz. They kept up the chase. They kept up their valiant effort to stay close to Salzburg with a 4-1 demolition of Austria Klagenfurt this weekend. Who saw that one?
I've seen the highlights of that one because I was on my way to the Generali Arena for the derby at the time. 4-1 obviously seems like a pretty emphatic win, and Sturm were good for it. But there was a moment in that game where it could have gone in a different direction. That was with the score at 2-1 to Sturm Graz. They took a very quick 2-goal lead. But then there was a moment where Wüthrich sort of body checked Sotto in the box, and Klagenfurt were up in arms wanting a penalty that wasn't given. And then Sturm Graz got two penalties of their own. So there was a sort of a turning point in that match, I feel.
Yeah, it looked like a comfortable win. Schnegg's brilliant volley opening the scoring. Sakaria made it 2-0 and they were cruising. And like you say, they let Klagenfurt back into the game really at 2-1. I'd like to talk about the penalties because it was a feature of this weekend, not just in the top six and not just in this game between Sturm and Klagenfurt, but there were penalty shouts, there were VAR checks in the derby as well. One of which I thought should have been a handball. It was a cross from Rapide. Also, I believe at 2-1 in that game, there was a cross that came in and it was sort of batted away by the hand. Yes, it was accidental, but the defender... We've all seen defenders come into crosses now with their arms behind their back. You know what you have to do to keep your hands out of the way. That didn't happen in the Austria Vienna defence. I think it was Lucas Mühl, the defender, who had his left hand out and pushed the cross away out to the edge of the area. That wasn't given. In the Sturm game as well, you mentioned the body check from Wüthrich. He was looking at the ball, played the ball, but kind of caught Sotto with the shoulder in the face. Certainly could have been given. You just don't know what you're going to get these days, do you? And then Sturm went and got a couple of penalties of their own, one of which looked a little soft, to say the least, as Teixeira went past the goalkeeper and then felt the slightest touch of contact and lost the use of his legs very temporarily, and he won the penalty. And I just feel at the moment, even with VAR, it's quite strange to just absolutely not know what you're going to get. You look at a situation and think, you see it on the replay and think, okay, well, that must be one thing. And then consistently it's given as another, or two similar situations in games are valued differently. And maybe that was a good example, actually, the other penalty in the Sturm-Klagenfurt game. It was a ball played into the box and then it was flicked goalwards by the striker and it hit the defender who was marking him. Right next to him, it hit the defender on the hand who was marking the striker. And you think, well, if that, you know, that doesn't give you enough time to get your hand out of the way. And if your hand wasn't in a completely ridiculous position, as it wasn't in that case, you think, how quickly has he got to react to that? The ball's changed direction within about a meter of hitting the player and it's given as a penalty. And yet the cross that was accidentally blocked by the hand in the penalty area in Favoriten was not given as a penalty. And there was one in the bottom six as well, where the defender was backing into the striker and the defender has his arms out onto the back of the player in front. And then the ball lands on those arms, like almost as if he's trying to catch it. And that's also not given and not even spotted. So I just don't know what you're going to get at the moment with VAR. And my frustration is increasing with it. And seemingly so is the frustration of all managers in Austria.
Yeah, I don't think that's a situation that's unique to Austria, though. I think we've seen problems with the implementation of VAR in lots of different countries, and Austria was a little bit late to the party in terms of bringing it in. So there are still going to be teething problems. But I agree, it was a little bit confusing at the derby every time you see VAR check come up on the big screen. And you're sort of convinced, well, that's got to be a penalty. The ref doesn't go over to his monitor. It's just check over. So, yeah. I'm a little bit confused at the moment in terms of what to expect and when.
Yeah, and I think that the level of refereeing in Austria has been an issue since we started the podcast. There's a reason why it's very rare that you see an Austrian official manage games in Europe and in UEFA competitions. So, you know, you look at the inconsistencies and what's happened on the field, and like, you know, maybe it is linked hand in hand with the fact that maybe there aren't that many superior referees here in Austria, unfortunately, at the moment. And maybe it is because of, you know, every decision that's made in Austria is so spotlighted. Like, of course, it is elsewhere in Europe as well. But I do think that the level of refereeing here is much lower than, you know, what we're used to in the Premier League or in the Bundesliga or in Italy or in Spain. And yeah, we just have to see how that progresses over the next few years. But the video assistant referee definitely is a controversial issue and will remain, I think, for a long while.
Yeah, it's just the inconsistency of it, isn't it? VAR is sort of an extra tool that's come in to help the referees should at least bring a level of solidity and consistency. And for me, it's just so frustrating to not know. You see something that appears to be stonewalled, it appears to be absolutely clear, and it's sort of 50-50 as to whether it's given or not. And like I said, when you get similar examples in two games on the weekend, and one is valued as a penalty and the other is not valued as a penalty, it just bring in that extra element of annoyance. And you think, what's the point? You know, if the referees are just getting it wrong or not seeing it, you've got sympathy for that. But when the VAR is not seeing it, it's much harder to have sympathy, because you think there's actually specifically paid professionals here who are watching this. And like the one I mentioned in the bottom six there could have been crucial for Altac, and it wasn't even noticed, let alone, you know, VAR. It's like, who's not even noticing it? I don't really understand it. But in fairness, Austria have announced in the last few weeks that they are professionalizing the refereeing in Austrian football. It's obviously going to be a bit of a slow process at first. It's going to be a program that is sort of beginning now as of 2023. So I wouldn't expect any short-term results. And I know the referees are definitely trying their best as well. But I think the professionalism of the refereeing system in Austria is surely only a good thing.
For sure.
Before we take a quick break and move down to the bottom six and Simon's trip to SV Horn, there was one more question for the top six, and that came from the Culture of Football Classics. We're talking about this great title race between Sturm and Red Bull Salzburg. It's a question we've had before. Premier League finishing positions for Sturm and Salzburg, hypothetically, so, so difficult. I look at how good the Premier League is this season. I look at Southampton, who are 20th and last, and I'm like, are Sturm worse? Are they better than Southampton? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it's one of those questions that you can't really answer. You know, you look in European competition, and Salzburg have played against Liverpool a couple of times recently, and they've run them quite close. But, you know, there's a difference between a one-off game in Europe and being in the Premier League. You know, I don't think at the moment they would be top half. Maybe if it was Salzburg from a couple of years ago, maybe they would have been a top half Premier League team. But yeah, it's one of those questions you can't really answer, if I'm honest with you.
I think if you had a best 11 from Salzburg in the past five or six seasons, that could be a team who could compete in a good position in the Premier League.
Most certainly, yeah. I mean, that'd be a great team. They'd have Erling Haaland up top, you know?
Exactly, there you go.
The man who's broke the single season record in the Premier League, so, you know.
That could be like a Brighton or something. But then when you think of the budget, just simply for people outside of Austria, like the budget of a team in the bottom five in the Premier League is just off the scale. It's absolutely off the scale of what, say, Sturm Graz are trying to deal with. So, I mean, Southampton's squad will be valued at something like 50 times more than Sturm Graz's squad, something I would imagine around that kind of figure, maybe even more. So I don't think it's a disgrace to say that Sturm and perhaps Salzburg this season would be certainly battling relegation were they in the Premier League.
Yeah, I would concur with that. I think Sturm would go down and Salzburg, as they are, would be sort of around the Crystal Palace level.
Okay, nice. I like that. Good answers. From there then, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back soon to look at the bottom six and a trip to Horn as well in the second division. So then, to the bottom six of the Austrian Bundesliga, two more draws and a win, a rare win. This time it was Hartberg who came out with 3 points in the bottom six. What caught your eye from the lower half of the table, the relegation group, this weekend?
I wouldn't say anything's caught my eye, truly. I'm just, I find it very amusing that because there's so many draws. And for example, Reed, who are second from bottom, they've now drawn 5 games in a row. And then you've got Hartberg, who have now won 2 games in a row, and it's immediately vaulted them out of any sort of relegation trouble. Just 2 victories and they're out of it. And I just think it's such an uneven level, like in the bottom 6, that all it takes is 1 win and you're pretty much, you're safe from relegation. But now you've got Reed and Altac. It looks like a two-horse race. Is that the right term? A two-horse race for relegation?
I'll go with it. I'll allow it.
Yeah.
And that's the next game as well. The next Austrian Bundesliga game on Friday the 19th of May is Reed versus Altac. And you have to feel that that is huge in terms of the team that ends up in this sole relegation berth in Austria. And right now, I just honestly don't know who to bet on, because with 4 and 5 victories, respectively, this season, they are just teams that don't win games. So it's really hard to know where this one's going to go.
It is ridiculous how close that is. Is anyone going to Reed on Friday night then for Reed against Altac? Potentially the decisive game, unless it ends 1-1, of course, which is probably going to.
Sadly not. I will be going to Liechtenstein to watch the cup final in Vaduz, but I will be in Vorarlberg. So I wonder if I could delay my return a little bit for Austria Liechtenau VSG Tirol. There's not so much riding on that, but going back to apple juice country in Austria would be very enjoyable.
Unfortunately, I'll be back in England. Otherwise, I would have definitely wanted to go to that game because I haven't been to Reed yet. So that would have been the perfect match to tick it off. But, you know, it's going to be very, very important. You've got 2 teams, just it's terrible runs. They're winless in, I believe, Altac are winless in 8. They won on the opening day of the relegation group against VSG Tirol. The VSG Tirol, who, despite the fact they haven't won in a long time as well, are somehow out of relegation worries, almost out of relegation worries, just because of Reed and Altac's lack of winning. But it's going to be a very interesting game, and I kind of feel sorry for the Altac fans for a second season in a row. It's going down right to the final game, you'd imagine. And for Reed as well, Reed have been there, I believe, 2 seasons ago, they went down to the final day. So, you know, if it's a draw, which looking at the table, it probably will be, it might be going down to another final day, a relegation battle between the bottom 2 teams of the Austrian Bundesliga.
Yeah, right now you've got Reed on 14, Altac on 14 with the plus of having their points halved before. So they've got that bonus point, Altac, and that could come into play. Reed, though, as you said, 5 draws in a row. That is ridiculous for the team at the bottom of the table. Hartberg secured their survival with their 1-0 win against Altac. And to be fair, yes, a couple of wins have got them out of trouble, but they're unbeaten in 6 and they've won 3 of those, which is quite ridiculous when you compare that to Reed and Altac, who just can't buy a win for love nor money. So I think Hartberg under Marcus Schopp have fully deserved their push up the table, and they might even sneak a little late run into Europe here, because Lustenau are top with 25 points. VSG second with 22 after those 2 teams drew 2-2 this weekend. So if the top 2 both play in the European playoff here, this domestic playoff, they'll go in against each other in a playoff to meet the 5th place team from the top half. So you've got VSG on 22, Hartberg on 21, VSG on 20. It's not about form or anything like that. Just simply a win from somebody there could vault them into 2nd place on the last day of the season. Surely somebody's going to do that, and somebody might randomly find themselves in Europe. And I can imagine seeing Hartberg suddenly make a run from relegation to actually getting into a European qualifier. That would be quite funny and very unexpected.
Well, they've been there before, haven't they? They had that one-off game against Piast Gliwice of Poland. And I feel like they're a little bit hard done by, because that was the season where European qualifiers were played over one single leg because of the pandemic. So they never got the chance to have that game at home as well. So you wouldn't begrudge Hartberg sneaking through the back door into Europe, would you?
You would not at all. You would not. It's going to be very, very close for those European playoff spots and in the relegation battle as well. Some really good games, some more crazy VAR decisions, some more dodgy things. But Altac, 1 win in 16 now. They were the losers of this weekend, the only losers. But Reed, perhaps, were the team that would have felt even more hard done by, because Reed scored a winner in stoppage time from Tim Plavatic, and that was then ruled out on the slightest of offside calls by VAR. And the way they streamed onto the pitch, the bench bursting into life, celebrating a precious win against VSK that could have changed the complexion of the table at the bottom, and then to have that snatched away, it was a tough moment.
Yeah, just have to add that to the long list of sort of refereeing controversies that Austria delivered up for us this weekend. Yeah, heartbreaking for them. But ultimately, every team has those lucky breaks and those pieces of bad luck throughout the season. And I think, generally speaking, it sort of breaks even. And, to pin that, if they say, well, we went down because of that, then I don't think that would quite be fair. Just gutting at the time.
Yeah, very disappointing. Christian Falliard asked us, hi Christian, he asked us about the Liga Tvær title race, moving down from the bottom six to the league below. He says, who will go up? I would wager that it's definitely too close to call at this point, with three games remaining and just 2 points separating the top three. Have you got any shouts between Blau-Weiss Linz, St. Pölten or Gjerkar as to who you think will come up?
I think if I was to pick, it would be Blau-Weiss Linz or Graz RK, solely because these are two teams who have big rivals in the Bundesliga, and we've seen St. Pölten in recent years. And also St. Pölten's women's team win every single trophy. So come on, it'd be great if Blau-Weiss Linz or Graz RK could be promoted. But looking at the relegation battle is very, very interesting. You have the bottom eight separated by 5 points. Funnily enough, that includes four of these second teams. So Liefering of Salzburg, Rapid Vienna second, Sturm Graz second, and Austria Wien second. So you could get theoretically three of the second teams being relegated from the second division, which would be quite an interesting thing, considering the fact that in the past, a couple of those second teams actually won the second division. So
I think a lot of fans would like to see all three, the relegation zone, filled up with second teams, to be fair. But let's see what happens on that note. So Christian, we can't quite give you an answer, but we can tell you who we don't want to go up, maybe, or Simon did at least. I'll go with him on that. I think Blau-Weiss Linz have scored more goals than anybody else, and they've won more games than anybody else. So I'll go with Blau-Weiss Linz, and they won the title the other year without going up too. So I'd be happy to see them finish top. Simon, one of the teams that you didn't mention, neither involved at the bottom nor the top, is SV Horn, but you felt that on a rainy Friday you'd like to go there for a game. How did that go?
So it didn't go well.
You could have seen Blau-Weiss Linz against St. Pölten in the tabletop clash in Liga Tvær, but
terrible choices were made. I've never been to Horn before, and I thought, why not on a rainy Friday head to Horn, see a team I've never been to before, see a new ground. It's a nice little town, Horn. It's a town of 6,000 people, and it's pretty crazy to think that this is a town of a place that won the Austrian Cup in 2008, although, of course, that was an Austrian Cup that didn't have any Bundesliga teams involved because of Euro 2008. But anyway, they still won the Austrian Cup. It was a wonderful game of football. Not.
I didn't know there were no Bundesliga teams involved in that cup. That's a good little stat to drop in there.
Yeah, so when I arrived in Horn, I did that tweet. I was like, I have to mention that it was a rather unique Austrian cup, because I know people would comment, oh yeah, but the Bundesliga teams weren't involved. Okay, yeah, but still Horn, a former Austrian Cup winners, which is remarkable for a place that's so small. The stadium, rather nice. There's only 520 fans there, which is very, very low for a team fourth in the second division. So there wasn't much of an atmosphere. I would say my highlight was the fact that they had Wieselburger on tap, which I know is Tom's favorite Austrian beer.
It's up there.
Yeah, but it was a pretty awful game. Kind of got a little bit wet walking to the ground. It's a very small place, but no, why not? That's why we cover Austrian football, to see these places that you would never visit normally. So yeah, I enjoyed my trip to Horn, but it was the second time I've seen Horn in 3 weeks, and both of those games ended in a 0-0 draw. So I've kind of ruined any of Horn's promotion hopes by seeing those two 0-0 draws.
Yeah. Rough. rough. And in the rain, you had to jump over a fence to get to the train back in time, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I jumped over a fence just because it cut off 10 minutes of my walk. I was looking at it for about 25 minutes before the end of the game. It's like, do I like that? And in the end, I did. And I made the train and I was home, nice and warm, out of the rain by about 9:30. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
There you go. A happy ending to a 0-0 in Horn. That'll be the ending for this podcast as well, unless anybody has anything to add. Which games are you looking forward to going to? I know we've got busy calendars and Lee's off to the Liechtenstein Cup final. But in terms of the fixtures coming up, will anybody join me perhaps for Salzburg against Sturm next weekend? I'll try and go to that one.
Well, in addition to going to the Liechtenstein Cup final, I'm also planning to hike the length of the country on Thursday and Friday, which is a 75-kilometer stretch. So I suppose I might make a decision later in the week, depending on how wrecked I am. But yeah, Salzburg Sturm is the standout one, I think, coming up. Lots rests on that. And of course, Salzburg could win the league if they win that game as well. So could be a good one to go to.
We could have our champions crowned next week. We will be back next week as well for another episode of the Other Bundesliga podcast. Thanks for joining us for this one. Goodbye from us. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, please consider leaving us a review on your podcast platform of choice. That's extremely helpful to us. We also have a Patreon page if you wish to chip in a few euro each month to help us out. That's over at patreon.com/otherbundesliga. Special thanks go to Gabriel Gaber at Torn Gaber Studios for this lovely music, and also to the Gentlemen Creatives for their Other Bundesliga logo artwork.